I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, stomach cancer is the fifth most common cancer worldwide, and the impact is disproportionate in South Texas, where Hispanic populations face higher incidence and earlier onset. Stomach cancer can be difficult to detect early, and it can be difficult to treat. What do we need to know about recognizing the signs of stomach cancer? And later on The Source, Ecuador used to be the safest country in South America. Now it's the most dangerous, all because of drugs. Ecuador doesn't produce cocaine, but it's the shipping hub for the narcotic, giving rise to deadly gangs and brutal government tactics trying to restore order. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Have a property past its prime? Consider donating it to Texas Public Radio. It's hassle-free, and you may qualify for a tax write-off, too. Learn more at tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Stomach cancer doesn't always make headlines, but for many communities, it is a growing and deadly threat, particularly here in Bexar County. While overall cancer rates have improved in recent years, stomach cancer continues to hit certain populations hard, especially Latinos, Asian Americans, immigrants, and people living in low-income and medically underserved areas, like in Bexar County. The challenge is that stomach cancer often develops quietly. Early symptoms can be vague, and many people aren't diagnosed until the disease has advanced, making early detection, awareness, and prevention critical. So today on The Source, we're talking with Dr. Rajat Gag. He is a gastroenterologist at the Mays Center for Cancer at UT Health San Antonio. And Dr. Gag, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David.
All right. So we have phone lines. They're open. We've got questions and comments about stomach cancer. How has it impacted you and your family? We'd love to hear your story. We can learn from your experience. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So Dr. Gag, what exactly is stomach cancer and how common is it?
So stomach cancer, also known as gastric cancer, is cancer originating from our stomach lining. So we have normal cells that secrete acid in our stomach, and when they turn into abnormal to precancerous and cancerous cells, that's called stomach cancer in simpler terms.
So the stomach is a very volatile place. I mean, you know, it's the very top of our digestive system, a lot of acid, lots of stuff flowing around, breaking down complex materials, so it's digesting. We have all these, also our little critters in our stomach as well, our microbiome, very active and complex. We're only really beginning to understand everything that's happening in there. So it's no wonder that something like stomach cancer, I guess, can develop. I mean, what is the microbiome, what role does it play in protecting us and also maybe sometimes causing problems?
So, it's very interesting, especially in the case of stomach cancer. So there is a stomach infection called Helicobacter pylori. That is the only bacteria that is known to cause cancer, especially in humans. And then this is very prevalent in our communities and Bexar County. And it can be very indolent infection. It can be sitting in your stomach for many, many years before it can turn into cancer. This Helicobacter pylori infection itself is very easy to treat, but sometimes can hide for a long time without causing any problems. And on top of that, what we eat, our diet, more processed foods, that is also interrelated with genetics, our dietary habits, our obesity rates, that are all intertwined in causing gastric cancer.
So how has the incidence of stomach cancer, how has that changed over, say, the past few decades?
It has actually interestingly gone down. So stomach cancer is more common in Asian countries than in Western countries. But because of the infection, dietary habits, genetics, there it's more prevalent in South Texas area, especially in Bexar County.
So how much more prevalent is it here? And what are those factors that create that it is more prevalent here?
So the factors that mainly lead to more prevalent in this county is Helicobacter pylori infection. We see very high incidence. And we also find high incidence of intestinal metaplasia. That is basically when your stomach cells turn into abnormal cells, and they sit there for many, many years before they turn into cancer. So we find that we find higher rates compared to other parts of the country of that condition here, and that's a precancerous condition. And that can go detected for a long, long time.
But also here in South Texas, we have very high rates of uninsured people. So these are people that don't typically have a regular doctor. And when they suspect that they may have a deadly disease, they may not go to the doctor right away until it really gets bad. You know, not having what I like to call womb-to-tomb healthcare that's available for people creates an environment where you can have things like stomach cancer go unrecognized and therefore untreated, and then it creates the opportunity for something to become so deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's one another factor why we see it here more often?
Yeah, that's definitely true. Because if you don't have proper access to medical care, and then if you're ignoring your symptoms for a long time, whatever reasons, that's definitely contributes to higher incidence here. And especially with that infection. As you said, if you are having a little bit of heartburn, you're probably thinking we are okay and don't need to seek medical care.
Take some Tums.
Right, exactly. But that could be something growing that hasn't manifested into full-blown symptoms that's taking our patients or our community to the ER, when that might be the first time they're having contact with healthcare in many, many years.
Yeah, but so many people have issues of heartburn or reflux and GERD and things like that, and you can't tell them, oh, you have stomach cancer. So how do you get from the fact that, oh, you have that, and to get a diagnosis that you have stomach cancer?
Yeah, so there are many things that we look out for. So we, in medical science or GI community, we call them alarm symptoms. So alarm symptoms of somebody when he have unintentional weight loss, when somebody have low iron in their blood, when they have seeing blood in their stool or they're vomiting blood, anybody having family history of gastric cancer, that's also important. So if we see somebody with alarm symptoms, with having nondescript symptoms of bloating, heartburn, reflux, we typically would recommend that we'd perform an endoscopy to make sure there's nothing else or nothing serious going on. And that's when we can diagnose H. pylori, see untreated reflux, or if there is any cancer, and detect it early and as soon as possible.
So run a scope down the throat, down into the belly, and take a look around.
Yes, yes. So essentially, its procedure itself is about 5 minutes or so, where we typically do require anesthesia for this. We go with a camera through the mouth. We look in the esophagus, stomach, take a close look at the stomach lining, take some biopsies if needed, depending on what we see. And then our pathologists take a look at those cells under the microscope and then decide what they see, and then depending on what they see, we take the next steps.
So during a colonoscopy, they could sometimes just remove polyps and things like that. Is that what also happens when you look through to stomach cancer?
Yes, definitely. So depending on what we see, a small polyp, we can definitely remove those. If we see something that is more nefarious, for example, cancer, that requires a little bit more thought in removing, because we want to remove it once and for all. We don't want to cause scarring. We don't want to cause more damage to that area.
So the thing is, colonoscopy is something that everyone is recommended to do by the time you hit a certain age. I've had a couple of them. Why don't we recommend? Well, I want you to answer this when we come back. Why don't we screen for stomach cancer, at least for people that are highly susceptible? You know, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And you can call in with your questions and comments. Has this become part of your life? Have it impacted you and your family? We'd love to hear your story. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. The Source continues right after this break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Dr. Rajat Garg. He is a gastroenterologist at the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio. He's a specialist in stomach cancer, and that's what we're talking about today. Something that's very deadly, it's prevalent here in Bexar County. We're talking about how to identify it, how do we talk about it, and so that we can help people get the help that they need before it becomes too late. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Dr. Garg, when we went to break, I was asking you about why does an endoscopy, why don't we do that more often? Why don't we have common screenings for stomach cancer?
Yeah, that is such a great question, Dave. So stomach cancer is common, but it is not that common in our general population. So to recommend screening for everybody in our community, such as colon cancer. Colon cancer is way more common than the stomach cancer itself. But there are certain situations where we do recommend screening. Anybody who have genetics mutation that's identified.
If you had a parent that had it.
If you have a parent, sibling, or a family member, such as Lynch syndrome or FAP, or somebody who has first-degree relative with stomach cancer, we do recommend screening in those high-risk population. But the data is not quite there yet to recommend it in general population without those high-risk factors. But of course, if there are symptoms, we do definitely need to investigate that.
Well, what about other ways of detecting it early? Can there be blood tests, or can you test the stool? What else is there?
So unfortunately, at this time, we don't have any blood test or stool test for gastric cancer detection. But we do have a very good stool test to detect Helicobacter pylori infection. That requires taking a spot sample of stool at home, dropping it to the lab, and testing it for the bacteria. And once we identify the bacteria, we treat that with the antibiotics. And that's a very easy and convenient way to treat that infection and also reduce the risk of gastric cancer.
So what about reducing of risk factors? I can't control my genetics, but I can certainly control my, you know, health habits. Mm-hmm. So what about, you know, smoking, I understand, was one of the risk factors.
Right, yeah, definitely. So things that we can do in day-to-day life to decrease the risk of this developing gastric cancer is no smoking. Eating diet that is rich in fruits and vegetables, trying to limit salt intake, using less smoked food, but that is less of a problem here. Really getting paying attention to your body and getting tested for that infection if needed.
What about obesity?
Obesity is definitely a big factor for gastric cancer. So with a healthy lifestyle, diet rich in fruit, vegetables, and then doing regular exercise, maintaining healthy BMI is also important to reduce the risk of gastric cancer.
So, I mean, really, it sounds scary, okay? Just want to say, the idea that you could have this ticking time bomb in your gut of stomach cancer, it seems like it sounds like just indigestion. Go take some Tums and, you know, meanwhile, it's growing. And what happens if I ignore it? What happens then?
So very important question. So yes, we tend to ignore minor symptoms, but if we ignore it too long, the cancer could spread out of stomach, and we really can lose the opportunity for cure or to remove it completely. Then at that point, if the cancer is out of the stomach area, then we have to talk about different treatments, including chemo, radiation, surgery, and then opportunity for window for cure becomes quite narrow.
So if you're identified, if you have advanced stage stomach cancer, then surgery is probably going to be one of the considerations, right?
Yes, depends on what stage it is. So if it's local, close to with some lymph nodes, we do typically at this time, the patient will still undergo chemotherapy and then do surgery. It all depends on what kind of stage it's captured at and where the disease is at that point.
If it spreads, then it's typically going to spread to the rest of the digestive system, right?
It can spread to the lymph nodes, it can spread to liver, it can spread to other organs outside the digestive systems too. So at that time, the disease is stage four and then chances for cure is pretty low.
Yeah, so if someone is diagnosed with stomach cancer and you didn't catch it early, what's that look like for them?
So if we didn't catch it early, the prognosis all depends on the stage, and we are talking about late stage, so that we are looking at chemo, radiation, and five-year survival, I would say, is 25 to 30%. So it's pretty deadly.
Right. So all the more reason why we should be trying to catch it early,
right?
Raise awareness that this is there. People need to pay attention if they have a close blood relative who has had stomach cancer. Talk about it. In your family, if someone has had it, don't keep it a secret. Do people feel like there's some sort of stigma if they have a stomach cancer and they don't want to talk about it?
Not per se, but we do sometimes come across when people don't talk about their health condition within the family, and which is so important, especially we are recognizing more and more genetic mutations for different kind of diseases. So it's important to talk within your family, to your kids, to your siblings, to make sure that they are aware and they can get tested as soon as possible.
Are primary care doctors, are they on the lookout for this? Are they going to be on the side of caution, say, you need to be tested, let's go ahead and run down the scope down your throat and take a look around?
Yes, so our primary care doctors do a great job, and they're on the lookout for those alarm symptoms of weight loss, anemia, bleeding. And they are the first line of defense in our health system. So they are the one who would often recommend do an endoscopy, and then that will be the first step.
So that's the first step. That's the diagnosis process. Right. I suspect, let's just take a look. It's not that big of a deal. So you could be in and out in one day.
Oh, like half hour.
So we should be doing that more often every time. And so are the treatment options improving? Are we getting better results?
Yes, so there have been definitely improvement in endoscopic resection. What that means is when we can cut the cancer out through the mouth, through the camera itself, without making any cuts and incision. At our new UT MSRH hospital, we have new state-of-the-art equipment, expertise available. If we can find cancer early, we can cut it out from the stomach without ever needing surgery, chemo, radiation. But there have been advancements in therapy also, in terms specifically immunotherapy and chemotherapy, that can really downstage the disease or downstage the cancer. And then that can potentially be taken to surgery and have a hope for cure.
What does immunotherapy look like in this case?
So immunotherapy, typically, it's important to talk to the oncologist, but there are various immunotherapy and they do run different markers. And then they can personalize that treatment based on what kind of genetic markers they run into.
So if you're diagnosed as having stomach cancer early stage, stopping smoking immediately, does that provide some relief?
Yeah, 100%. Like stopping smoking is a general health advice. We should try to cut it down on day-to-day life, even when we don't have stomach cancer. Or we're not on the lookout for stomach cancer, but yeah, definitely stopping smoking and then working out healthy lifestyle. And then at that point, we are more on the treatment side rather than the risk mitigation side once somebody has the gastric cancer.
And when we say smoking, does that include vaping or any kind of tobacco use?
Yes, any kind of tobacco use, cigar, vaping, e-cigarettes, everything.
Well, what about alcohol? Does alcohol play a risk factor?
Yeah, that's so interesting. So alcohol it hasn't been consistently shown to increase rates of gastric cancer, but of course it can cause gastritis, heartburn, abdominal pain. Those kind of things can certainly be triggered by alcohol, and then sometimes we do end up seeing irritation in the stomach because of alcohol, and then we find some abnormal cells. So, but it's not been consistently shown as a risk factor for that.
Well, it sounds like what you told me earlier about testing of the stool for H. pylori, that seems so simple and non-invasive and can be done quickly. Why isn't that done more often?
Well, it requires a doctor's order. So once you have a doctor's order, then it's very simple to get it done, get tested, and if it's negative, you forget about it.
And what does it really tell you? I mean, you have this bacteria, but just because you have the bacteria doesn't mean you have stomach cancer.
Exactly right. So that means you have that infection, and once you have that infection, which should not be there in humans at all, we have to treat it and eradicate that infection to decrease the symptoms of either pain, dyspepsia, indigestion, and also reduce the risk of gastric cancer at the same time.
So are there vaccines or other preventive medicines in development? Can this be something that really something to look forward to?
At this time, I'm sure there's trials or basic science studies going on, but nothing that's concrete for or ready for clinical practice yet.
So how big is the public health burden of stomach cancer compared with other cancers?
So stomach cancer is fourth most common worldwide and fifth most common in U.S. So it's pretty common, but not as common as colon cancer or
But if you get diagnosed with it and you begin treatment, and then even if it becomes, it can be a very costly to the health system to try to, you know, treat you. And then if it's the treatment is not good, it's still going to be a very costly kind of public health response. So all the more reason why there should be more investment in the public health system to try to identify this and elevate the awareness of it as much as possible.
I 100% agree. Yes. So prevention is the best cure, right? So if we can identify it early, prevent it from developing, that is the best case scenario for any kind of cancer.
And so, but do you have to have, I guess you do, medical insurance or the Affordable Care Act, these types of things play a role. I mean, if you don't have medical insurance, having these detection opportunities, they're basically out of reach.
Not exactly. There are some access clinics available through UT Health, so we can where we can help our uninsured, underinsured patients. But yes, in a sense, you do need to have some kind of medical coverage because this is elective or outpatient.
They say it is elective. But it's not elective.
It is not elective, yes. But once
as they call it that, they'll put it on the little form elective. But this is life-saving.
This is life-saving, 100%. And unfortunately, that's the reality of the health system or our world we live in.
So what kind of policy changes or investments would you like to see so that we will have better outcomes with stomach cancer?
So you're really recognizing and easy access to healthcare and then more investment into public health. Dollars, whether that includes free clinics, free labs, and free testing. That would be the first step. And then there's more nuance to our health system that we can talk about all day.
Yeah, well, more investment in our health system, make it more accessible, break down barriers. And what do you want people to know? What's the big takeaway that you want people to talk about, you know, stomach cancer?
So if you're having problems with your stomach, such as abdominal pain, indigestion, nausea, vomiting, please talk to your doctor. And if you know somebody in your family who has gastric cancer, that's also important to tell your doctor so that we can take appropriate action, detect it early, and get it cured.
Blood in the stool. I mean, if you see blood in the stool, what is that going to tell you?
Yeah, blood in the stool can come from anywhere from the GI tract, but that can also come from the stomach. So blood in the stool, if you have it, it's very important to get in touch with your doctor so that we can get it tested and work our way to find where it's coming from.
All right. Well, Dr. Rajat Garg is a gastroenterologist at the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio. Thanks for coming in today, helping us raise the level of awareness about stomach cancer. This information is life-saving, and we sure do appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you so much, Dave.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.